Welcome to Adventures in Grace. This is Jim Hockaday looking forward to getting back into casting your cares upon the Lord. Well, this is all in the context of finding grace. And as you know, we want people to begin to let God come out of the pages of their Bible and get into their life in a very tangible way. And that's actually what the Lord wants too. Number two, we want you to get answers to your prayers. And number three, the ability to share your testimonies with others that are around you. You know, the world's really looking for reality. And the reality of a shared testimony will speak much more than just giving them, or if you don't mind me saying it, drowning them with one scripture after another. You know, I'd rather give somebody one scripture that I can give a testimony about and show them the results than give them 10 scriptures and have them feeling like, wow, I just can't put all this together. Let's keep it really simple. And that's actually what the Lord wants. And he's even invited us to have a relationship with him that is just that simple. And that comes from Matthew 11, 27 to 30, which says, Jesus resumed talking to the people, but now tenderly. The Father has given me all these things to do and say. This is a unique Father and Son operation coming out of Father and Son intimacies and knowledge. No one knows the Son the way the Father does, nor the Father the way the Son does. But I'm not keeping it to myself. I'm ready to go over it line by line with anyone willing to listen. Are you tired and worn out and burned out on religion? Come to me, get away with me, and you'll recover your life. Walk with me, work with me, watch how I do it. Learn the unforced rhythms of grace. I won't lay anything heavy or ill-fitting upon you. Keep company with me, and you'll learn how to live freely and lightly. Well, you know, we were talking a little bit about Mary and Martha concerning casting your cares upon the Lord. It actually goes in the same passage in 1 Peter chapter 5 with humbling yourself under the mighty hand of God. Yes, it does. God resists the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. Therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that in due time he may lift you up. Man, I'm telling you, when you walk in that humility, that place of repentance, where you're willing to see things differently and let the Lord lead and guide you, grace will always be there. But if you get real stubborn and set in your ways and say, I don't need any of that, I can just do it myself. Well, God isn't trying to resist you. You're resisting him. And so the truth is, we've got to humble ourselves. Now, we looked in the Amplified and it told us things like maybe lowering yourself in your own estimation. And some folks would have a real hard time with that. But the truth of that is recognizing that as you're inviting God to be a part of your life, it's really not you, it's him. I've even come to the place of using verses of scripture like Philippians 2 and 12 and 13, where it says, work out your salvation with fear and trembling. And the work that you're supposed to do is to actually embrace that all the while God is effectually at work in you, creating in you and empowering you with desire and ability so that you can do of his good pleasure, satisfaction, and light. God is effectually at work in you. There's something that's hitting the bullseye inside of you from God toward you to actually even create ideas, thoughts, desires, hopes, and dreams that work with God. And then the power to make that happen so that you can actually walk it out and experience the goodness of God, which brings glory to him. And that really humbles me to think that at my best day, it was still Jesus working through me instead of me taking glory for what actually comes from him. If you'll learn to live like that, folks, God will shower you with grace after grace after grace. And if you'll be excited enough to find grace, he'll make sure that you find it, not just in ones and twos in addition, but he'll go on over into multiplication until you're finding so much you can't count it. And that's where life takes on another life of its own. That's where you're out of the way, where God's able to be God in you. And everything you see in scripture where God was God to the people will work in you without even you working it. You know, like someone said to me recently, and they were sharing, you know, and so that's okay. They were just sharing how that they're working on resisting these certain symptoms. You know, their husband actually experienced a wonderful healing and so thankful for that, but they were working on resisting, you know, these symptoms. And I wrote back to them. I said, instead of you working on resisting those symptoms, why don't you just enjoy the presence of Jesus throughout your day and invite him to be a part of everything you do? Then you can let Jesus take care of resisting those symptoms while you enjoy him. See, sometimes we want to just get in the thick of it, you know, and try to make something happen. But the Lord really wants us to go right back to the garden and walk with him and talk with him, just like Adam and Eve did, where there was really nothing wrong. And if you'll spend time with Jesus while your mind is telling you you need to be concerned about the things of this life and the bills and all the different things that are, no, I'm not telling you to be irresponsible and not do well on your job or not have a job or not be responsible to pay your bills and just let them go into default. No. Come on. We're smart enough to recognize that. But we get very caught up in the moment of the things that we've got to do, and we don't realize that we haven't yet taken the time to enjoy the presence of the Lord. Because if we'll do that, God will actually minimize everything that you think is a terrible crisis, and he'll eliminate the small stuff until you don't really have anything to concern yourself with. Well, that's what he was trying to get across to Martha when he said in Luke 10:40, but Martha was distracted with serving, and she approached him and said, Lord, do you not care? There it is again. She's full of care that my sister has left me to serve alone. Therefore, tell her to help me. And what did Jesus tell her? Mary's actually chosen the best part, Martha. Come on and join us. That's really what he was saying. Over here in 1 Corinthians 7:25-36, again, this is a Message Bible, but just super, super good. In fact, it goes a little further than just 26, but we'll look right here. It says, the master did not give explicit direction concerning virgins, but as one much experienced in the mercy of the master and loyal to him in all the way, you can trust my counsel. And then Paul began to talk about being married or not being married. If you're married, stay married. If you're not married, he would say, don't get married. And verse 32, he went on to describe some of this. And he said, I want you to live as free of complications as possible. Can we stop there and just be real? Are some of you possibly struggling from the fact that your life has been filled with complications, drama, concerns, anxieties? You've learned how to navigate through it, even though it doesn't necessarily leave like you want to. You've learned how to protect your heart against it, but you're still living in drama, in anxieties, and in complications. God wants you to actually get free of all of that, where you have no anxieties, no complications. You're not living in drama, and you recognize how to resist the idea of taking on more drama, complications, and anxieties, because you can see it coming, just like you can see Santa Claus walking down the street with a red Santa Claus suit on. Come on, folks. God wants you to be able to guard your heart. That's what he told Adam and Eve when he said, guard the garden, because there was somebody in the garden that was going to try to steal from them the very thing that meant the most, and that was their relationship with God. And he said, tend to the garden, or guard it. Cultivate it. In other words, cultivate a relationship with me and guard your heart against that which is going to come against or in between our relationship. God wants to be involved in every single moment of the day with you. And there's no time for complications. There's no time for anxieties. And there's certainly no time for drama that you know is drama, but you enter into it anyhow. I know I have to be careful when I'm driving on the road that I don't want to just beat the horn at everybody that I don't think is driving as well as they should. And of course, not like I'm the perfect driver anyhow. And, you know, my wife will say things like, you know, how much good do you think that did? And I'm thinking, well, I don't know, but it certainly satisfied my heart to let them know they should get off the road. That's terrible. See, that's terrible. And what does it benefit in the long run? It benefits absolutely nothing. Now, I don't have any problem honking the horn at somebody that could cause an accident if they were to get in front of me or whatnot. You know, that's just safety. But some of the things that we do and we involve ourselves with are such nonsense. But we do it anyhow, not realizing that all of that clicks us away from the tangibility of God. Because if we actually can get involved in nonsense, what are we saying but to be involved in God and enjoying His mercies and His grace is not good enough. I'd rather be entertained by all this drama of life. Ouch, I know that hurts, but that's really good. So look at what he said. I want you to live free from complications as possible. When you're unmarried, you're free to concentrate on simply pleasing the master. Marriage involves you in all the nuts and bolts of domestic life and in wanting to please your spouse. He's not saying that's wrong. That's admirable because that's the love of God, leading to so many more demands on your attention. But that's actually what you're going to get. There will be demands on your attention. The time and energy that married people spend on caring for and nurturing each other, the unmarried can spend in becoming whole and holy instruments of God. I'm trying to be helpful and make it easy as possible for you, not make things harder. All I want, listen to this, all I want is for you to be able to develop a way of life in which you can spend plenty of time together with the master without a lot of distractions. I've probably shared this before, but you know, the ranger theory comes from my friend BJ, the rancher. And his dog was so smart, you know. But there's a reason why it was smart, because BJ actually spent time with him. And people would always say, your dog's smarter than my dog. Well, you know, if you don't spend any time with your dog, I'm sure it probably doesn't do anything. It doesn't sit up. It doesn't roll over. It doesn't come on command or stay on command. And you probably feel like you've got a dumb, dumb dog. You know what I'm talking about. Well, they would always say that to him, and he'd always say, my dog's not any smarter than yours. And they said, oh, yes, he is. My dog can't do any of the things yours does. I mean, BJ taught that dog the difference between a Phillips screwdriver and a regular screwdriver, because when you're on the ranch and you're doing ranch work and you're all by yourself and you could say, Ranger, get me the Phillips screwdriver, that's kind of nice to have the dog go over there, put it in its mouth, and bring it to you. He taught that dog the difference between the rock station, the country station, and the easy listening station. And he was able to have him go up into his 1976 Ford pickup truck. I think it was a F-150. And Ranger go up there and push that paw on those little buttons. Back then, you push the button in order to get a change of station. And he'd have a change of station. Excuse me. Think of that. Well, again, people would say, that's the smartest dog I've ever seen. And BJ would always say, well, how much time do you spend with your dog? And then they'd kind of look down a little bit embarrassed and say, well, I guess I don't spend much time with my dog. And then they'd say, how much time do you spend with your dog, with Ranger? And he said, well, since she was a pup, I spent every waking moment with her. In other words, bring that over into a relationship with God, because you know, dog spelled backwards is God. I know that's cheesy, but still good for you to think that maybe someone's got all kinds of testimonies and all kinds of reports of great things that God's doing. And you would think, well, they've got a special relationship. Maybe they've got a special call in their life, and it has nothing to do with anything special. It just has to do with the quality time that you actually give God. You know, God wants to work out within each one of us so many perfected and wonderful things that we can actually become the living scriptures that we read so often. I'm looking over in Matthew chapter 6. It's a great passage of scripture. Of course, Jesus is talking. You can't argue with the master. Starting in verse 24. You can't worship two gods at once. Loving one, you'll end up hating the other. Adoration of one feeds contempt for the other. You can't worship God and money both. Well, you could say God and money, which represents all the things that money can buy you. Or it could be God and a person. Can't worship those two people. Well, wait a minute. Wait. I'm putting my wife above my relationship with God. Well, no, put God above your relationship with your wife, and God will actually help you to have a better life with your wife. Come on, he said, put me first. That means put him first. He's not asking you to do something that's too hard for you to do, and he's asking you to do it not because he's selfish, because he wants to lavish upon you all the graces of God that'll give you the life that you could have only dreamed about, but you can't make it happen by yourself. So you look at this here, and this is really good. You can't love two at the same time. When you're pointing yourself in one direction, you're actually ignoring the other direction. So verse 25 is really good. It says, if you decide for God, living a life of God worship, okay, I think we've all decided that, then notice what it says. It follows that you don't fuss about what's on the table at mealtimes or whether the clothes in your closet are in fashion. See, he's talking about the simple little things of life that we get caught up in because that's what the world is caught up in. When you don't have Jesus at the center of your life and you don't understand that there's a relationship that's more wonderful than anything in this world, well, then all you've got are the fancy things of this world. Surround yourself with movies, surround yourself with buying clothes. Amazon makes it very tempting now to have a package at your door every single day. And all you're concerned with are the things of this life. And the more you are, the less you can be concerned with God. Even though you want to argue and say it's not true, it is true. He said right here, there's far more to your life than the clothes you hang on your body, the food you put in your stomach, or your outer appearance. Look at the birds, free and unfettered, not tied down to a job description, careless in the care of God, and you count far more to them than birds. He's not trying to tell you to be a bird lover, but he's trying to tell you to be perceptive to the things that God has actually established in the earth himself. And look at how he takes care of his own creation that's so beautiful and so wonderful that it doesn't have any concern. It doesn't have care. These birds don't even think about their next meal, and yet they have something to eat because our Father takes care of them. You know, I want to share with you a grace story that came from my rancher friend because of talking about birds and the way our Father cares for them. He would say it this way, and he saw thousands of experiences of God's grace every single day on the ranch. And yet this is what he said, the greatest experience of grace that I've ever seen. He said it was a cold, cold morning, and it said the ponds on the ranch had been frozen for a few days. He said, which means that all the animals that are on the ranch, he said, are going to struggle to have something to drink. And he said, all of a sudden, he said, it caught his eye. He looked straight up and he saw a large bird flying with something in its talons. He said he was sure it was a hawk, but it was flying very high. He thought that it was probably, you know, maybe some prey that it had picked up. Maybe it was a rabbit. Maybe it was something else that it had picked up. He said that hawk flew in the direction of the pond. And when it got right over the pond, that hawk dropped what was in its talons. And what was in its claws was a big, huge chunk of wood. Now, what's a hawk doing grabbing a big, huge chunk of wood for? Well, it fell and hit about 10 feet from the edge of the pond into the pond. And when it hit, coming from that height and that heavy of a piece of log, all of a sudden, he said he watched within just seconds and minutes, crack, 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 and that pond began to crack, and there were openings of water. And he said for the next hour, he watched animals come from everywhere on the 400 acres that farm was on. They came from everywhere. How they knew? It was the grace of God. And they came down there to drink, not to fight, not to eat one another, but to drink. He said that was the greatest experience of grace he'd ever seen. God doing something and the ripples of God's grace affecting many others constantly. Oh, folks, I, for one, desire to live more carefree and more free of anxiety and distractions, you know, so that we can just experience more of this grace of God. We're only just experiencing such a very tiny bit. Oh, my time is gone. So subscribe to the YouTube channel, Adventures in Grace. Go to Jim Hockaday Ministry Facebook page and follow us. And for sure, go to the website and get the email, which is jhmi@jimhockaday.com, and send us your grace stories. We'll see you again as we finish up on Casting the Deep.